I almost entitled this lesson this morning, Who's On First? And some of you will remember a comedy routine, Abbott and Costello, in which who's on first and what's on second and I don't know what's on third is the main part of that comedy routine. And it's on YouTube, if you know what YouTube is, and you can enjoy it again. But it's a very important question. I want to rephrase it and get us to personalize it this morning. It's not who's on first, but who is first in your life. On this first Sunday of 2015, I'd like to ask you to join me in thinking about this question. Who is first in your life? And of course, God, the one true living God, wants to be, needs to be first in our lives. The first of the Ten Commandments, God said to the people of Israel, "You shall have no other gods before me." In other words, he's saying that as far as our relationship with him, and this was true before the law of Moses, in the law of Moses, and now after the law of Moses, it's always been true that God needs to be and deserves to be first in our lives. So we need to put God first. First of all, as the focus of our worship. As the focus of our worship. And everyone has someone or something that is first in his or her life. Another way of saying this truth is that every person has a God. Every person in the world has a God. Little g or big G. Which is it? Everyone worships something or someone. A God is whatever has first place in your life. It needs to be God, the one true living God, but it can be someone or something else. In fact, I like what this writer says. A God is anything in which we put our trust and focus. That can be a job, a relationship, a political system, money, even ourselves. Anything we look to as our ultimate source of strength is our God. Each of us has a God. The only question is, who has first place in our lives? Is it some false God? Or is it the one true living God? Again, echoing the first commandment, you shall have no other gods before me. Jesus emphasized it, same principle with these words. He was asked by a scribe, which is the first commandment of all? Which is the greatest commandment? And the scribe has reference to the law of Moses. And of all those laws, some say over 600 laws in the Old Testament, which is the greatest? Jesus answered, the first of all commandments is this, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. This is the first. This is the greatest commandment. And the second like it is this. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these. So he sums it up for us. But not only the old law, but even under the new covenant in which we live, the greatest command is to love God supremely. Love him with all our heart and soul and mind and strength. And then to love our neighbors ourselves. And that really is an umbrella over every other instruction that we have in Scripture. All of them fit under those two main categories. Loving God supremely. And then loving others as we love ourselves. And God is not saying, however, that other gods should rank behind him. He is saying that he's the only God. Exodus 34:14. You shall worship no other God, for the Lord, whose name is Jealous, is a jealous God. Isaiah 45:21. There is no other God besides me, a just God and a Savior. There is none besides me. So we must make God the only focus of our worship. Allow no other thing, no other person to have that first place in our lives. Have you ever visited a castle? If you do, when the guide takes you to the throne room, there's going to be a seat for one. It won't be a throne pew. There's only room for one. There's only room for one on the throne of our hearts. And that place needs to be God. He needs to be first. He deserves to be first in our lives. But not only the focus of our worship, but putting God first is to be the foundation of our character. The first key to building a life of character is to put God first. And that doesn't sound right to many people in the world, because when they think about character or ethics, they think of putting our relationship with one another above our relationship with God. For example, there was a group of university professors that gave out copies of the Ten Commandments to their students. And they asked their students to rearrange the Ten Commandments in the order that they thought should be, in order of priority. 90% of the students reversed the order, putting the commandments about how we're to treat our fellow man first, followed by the commandments about how we're to relate to God last. But folks, the Ten Commandments are in order. It must begin with God and our relationship with Him. The first four commandments and the eternal principles behind them provide the theological basis for living a life of character. Let's think about how that works. Many have taught their children about sexual morality, about why they shouldn't have sex before marriage. And the reasoning has often been, if you don't, you might lose your reputation. If you don't, you might get a disease. If you don't, the girl may get pregnant. And those reasons are valid reasons. They're consequences of sexual activity outside of marriage. But in those reasons, notice, they could be used by anyone. But here's the difference. When we put God first, the primary reason why we refrain from sexual activity outside of marriage is because God demands purity. Because there is a God, and He demands purity in our lives. And so that's the primary reason why we save ourselves from marriage. That's the primary reason why we do all these other commands, is because God is King. He's sitting on the throne of our hearts. He's the foundation of our character and of all of our moral decisions. Character begins with God. We're unlikely to tell the truth when doing so will put us in a jam unless we care more about God's valuing honesty than we care about our own comfort. People of character realize the only motivation sufficient to keep us living a life of character is a complete love for and allegiance to the God who values character. Putting God first has implications in every aspect of our lives, including how we decide what's right and what's wrong, and how we're going to live our lives. In fact, as you consider the Ten Commandments and the principles behind them that are always true, consider these commandments following the first as being applications of it. For example, let's go to commandment number 8, do not steal. Commandment number 10, do not covet. Is that not another way of stating, do not let things become your God? Don't allow things to consume you to the point that you would steal from others in order to obtain. Don't let things become your focus to the point where you covet what belongs to someone else. Don't let things become your God, because it's not only a violation of commandments 8 and 10, it's a violation of that first one of putting God first and allowing Him to be the focus of your life. So God must be first as the focus of our worship, as the foundation of our character. How can we know, or how can we put God first? Let's use that word first and form an acronym, an acrostic. F, focus. What is your focus? It's possible to focus on the wrong thing and to lose focus on the right thing. Perhaps, well, there's a story about a woman who had been to church and she saw a friend on the way out. And she says, "Did you see that hat that Myrtle was wearing?" And her friend responded, "No, I didn't." She said, well, what about the coat that Hazel had on?" Her friend replied, well, no, I didn't see that either." "Well, a lot of good it does you to go to church," she said. You see, even at church, some people lose their focus. What is your focus? Not just when we gather together for worship, but every day of our lives. When we have free time, when our minds aren't engaged in some activity, what do we think about? What do we focus on? Think about Proverbs 3, 5 and 6. "Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding." Listen to this next one. "In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will direct your paths." Do we acknowledge God in all of our ways? Is He our focal point? Do we think about God? What is our focus? I is for income. Income. There may be no better indicator in modern America of what a person values than what he does with his money or her money. Do you realize that Jesus had more to say about money and material things than anything else? I've read that as much as 1/6 of Jesus' teaching has to do with money and material things. Here's a sample. "Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroy, where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." A few verses down in the Sermon on the Mount, "No one can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other." You cannot serve God and mammon, money. And isn't it interesting, as he's speaking about serving the proper God, the big one true living God, that he contrasts it with one of the most popular gods, mammon, money. You cannot serve God and mammon. R is for relationships. Our relationships with other people tell us much about our love for God. 1 John 4:20, "If someone says, 'I love God,' and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he has not seen?" If we're putting God first, all of our relationships will fall into one of two categories. Number one, the people we choose to be around, we choose to be around them because they will help us draw closer to God. Or number two, the people we choose to be around are those that we're trying to bring closer to God. When God is our focus, that's how we look at our relationships. Are they going to help us bring us closer to God? Or can we help bring them closer to God? Number four, security. The last time you needed some support, the last time you needed something or someone to lean on, where did you turn first? Where did you turn first? And it seems we often turn to God last. Like the man who was lying in the hospital bed, the doctor came in to give him test results. And the doctor said, "I'm afraid all we can do now is pray." And the patient said, "Oh dear, has it come to that?" But folks, that's where it needs to start, isn't it? The first thought should be, go to God. Go to God. He is our security. Jesus says, whether or not we worry is a sign of whether or not we're putting God first. He said, don't worry, saying, what shall we eat, what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. So what do we do to do instead of worrying? He says, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And all these things, the necessities of life, shall be added to you. Find your security in God. Put God first. And the last one is time. In addition to the use of our money, the use of our time is the best indicator of our focus, of what we value. What do we schedule into our lives? What do we schedule out? Those are questions we need to ask to evaluate. How am I spending my time? How am I using my time? Is the use of my time a reflection of the decision that I've made to put God first? We have to make that time. Jesus made that time in his relationship with his heavenly Father. Now in the morning, having risen a long while before daylight, he went out and departed to a solitary place, and there he prayed. Even the Son of God set aside time, made time, even if it meant getting up really early, in order to have that communion, personal communion with his heavenly Father. Who's first in your life? We must guide our lives by a higher compass. In the days of before modern navigational aids, ships crossing the Atlantic Ocean often used two separate compasses. One was on the deck of the ship that the steersman would consult in order to determine the direction that he needed to guide the ship. But another was at the top of the mast, and every so often a sailor would climb up the mast in order to look at that compass to, again, affirm that they were going in a particular direction. A passenger unfamiliar with these two compasses asked the captain, "Why do you have two compasses?" The captain responded, "There's much iron on this vessel, and the compass on the deck is often affected by its surroundings. Not so with the one on the masthead. That one is above the influence of what's on the ship, and we steer by that compass above because it's more reliable. It's safer." And that's exactly why we should steer our lives under the direction of God above. Because as human beings, we're often affected by our surroundings. We get confused about who's first. Culture influences us. Situations influence our bearing on the direction we need to go. But God is beyond those influences, and he's revealed himself, and he's revealed his will. And that's where we find our direction in order to reach our proper destination. But in order for that to be realized, we've got to put him first. On this first day of first Sunday in 2015, who's first in your life? It may be that there are some who are ready to put God first, to put Jesus first by responding in obedience to the gospel, the good news of Jesus. That you're ready to confess the sweet name of Jesus and be baptized as one who's turned from sin so that your sins can be washed away, so that you can beginning today, having your slate washed clean, ready now to follow Jesus for the rest of your life. It may be that others of us have put other things first instead of God. And we need to put him back on the throne of our hearts. For he and only he is deserving to be there. If you need the prayers of the church to that end, won't you let that be known? Won't you come right now as we stand and sing?